Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, titled Messiah Cut Off. This is part of our ongoing study in the book of Daniel of the 70 weeks prophecy. If you told someone that the Bible predicted the very day that Messiah would show up to be cut off, as Jesus was on the cross at Calvary, even many Christians would say you're crazy, but it's true. And we will see that very thing in this amazing study of God's Word. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin with a letter we love, contrasted by some of the crazy that we have to put up with by some of the unregenerates online. And then we get into our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. We've titled, From the Text, Messiah Cut Off. This is part one of two.
All right, we're in Daniel 9, 26 for the Bible study. How many of you came to study the Bible tonight? Okay. Everybody except for Stephen. Okay. We do have ink pens and pencils down there, so we did have ink pens. Yeah, you don't want to use a marker in your Bible. As you're turning there, I want to share with you a very short, sweet letter we love. You haven't done this as often as I like, but this is a letter we love, short and sweet, from Andrew in Canada. He says, I basically only listen to Gregory Miller on sermon audio. Totally unpretentious person. Now, I bring this up because when I first read that, I thought he was insulting me. But I looked it up, and basically what unpretentious, if I understand right, it means I don't get up here and brag a lot, but I also don't get up here and say, act like this. Oh, dearly beloved, it's just so wonderful to see you all here this evening as we praise and worship the God of heaven. Now, if you like that, I can do that all night long.
Please. No.
Now, I looked it up. Unpretentious. Not pretentious, modest. And if I do say so, I'm the most humble man I've ever met. I'm just joking, Andrew. But anyway, here's I just want to show you, these are the other letters we love. This is from a guy who won't use his real name on YouTube. But he's telling me that we're right in the fact that the last pope will be Antichrist. After Vatican II, the Catholic Church was diminished to a remnant, and the false church that claims to be the Catholic Church today is not. See, this is a real position within Catholicism. It's one of the splits in the Catholic Church. He goes on down to the third paragraph there. He says, every single word of the Bible is inspired and deeply detailed. If you actually look at the meaning of each word in Greek, you will find that there is much more meaning to Scripture than you actually thought. And you will find that the traditional Catholic Church is right. The Bible proves the papacy. He's partially right. The Bible proves the papacy is Antichrist. But then the last paragraph, if you die before converting to the traditional Catholic faith, you will die and go to hell. It is a fact. You are leading many people to hell. Please take a look at Vatican Catholic's website and channel. You will not regret it. That is just one of the letters we love. And I ought to share these more often just so you realize what I'm dealing with. I get this all the time. Jenny, what did you mean?
I was curious if you've ever looked up God in Greek and what it means.
Theos means God. The King James translators got it right every time. Well, God was actually a guy named Theo. And Theo lived many, 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 many billions of years ago on a planet that came out of nothing from nowhere when it exploded. Here's one more example This is from Anthony Onyango. I think he's from Nigeria or something like that, but he's just informed us that the two witnesses of God have finally been revealed to the nations. So y'all need to repent now. Prophet Owuor, I don't know how you pronounce it, O-W-U-O-R, Owuor, does that sound right? Owuor, he is raising the dead, and he made it rain. Of course, we hope they needed it, you know what I mean? He's healing HIV and AIDS, he's making the blind see. He's making the crippled walk. So, there you go. What?
You said he made it rain.
No, don't say it.
So that is why you. I always tell everybody, just as Andrew said, I'm not pretentious, but I want all of you, and I don't have to tell most of you this, but when you go out and talk to people, talk to them about Jesus, not about Pastor Greg. And tell them what this book says, the Bible. That's what it's all about. And so that's why we love those letters. Even the crazy ones, we love them. If you look at this picture, how many of you recognize what you're looking at? Yeah, it did. So you should know what you're looking at. But it's called the place of the skull, Golgotha. And the reason I put that on there is because in Daniel 9:26 is one of the most amazing Bible prophecies in the Bible. We've been leading up to this. One of. There are many. But this is one of the most amazing, where Daniel was given from Gabriel the angel. He was given the actual date ahead of time that Jesus, at that time he didn't tell anybody the name, but as Johnny and I have discussed, he did. It was Gabriel that came and gave us the name later. Isn't that neat? Gabriel's giving us what we're reading here in Daniel 9, and Gabriel's the one that announced the name of Jesus. Ain't that something? Well, it's fitting he would know, since he's the one who told us exactly when Jesus would come to be cut off. Which is why he came. We're going to look at Daniel 9:26. So let's go ahead and read that one verse. Daniel 9:26. Read it with me. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Again, it's just an amazing thing that we're going to look at here in verse 26 with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone here tonight. We just ask you, help us focus on your word and help us understand with your Holy Spirit. Teach us and guide us. And we just love this book, and it makes us love Jesus. And we love Jesus above all else. We love you because you first loved us. And we're just so glad to be saved. I believe everyone in this room is saved. We're so thankful that we're going to be together forever. And we'll get to see Jesus soon. And so we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Amen. So it says, the first few words of the verse, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. This would total 69 weeks of 7 years. If you look up in your Bible there, one verse above where we're reading, it says that there'd be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And then it says, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. That's during the 7 weeks. Then it says, and after 62 weeks. So what's 62 plus 7? Raise of hands. 62 plus 7. Jenny?
69.
Doug, if you'd raised your hand, you would have won. 69. Yeah, we have cake downstairs anytime you want it. But the first 7 weeks is the period of rebuilding. It says, even in troublous times. And if you want to read about that, well, there's Ezra and Nehemiah and some of the prophets, minor prophets, tell you a little bit about this time during the 7 weeks. The reason why it says the 7 weeks and then the 62 that you add to that is because it is during those 7 weeks that the main walls and everything were built. Later, there would be additional building and everything. But during that extra period, if you look here on our chart here, and I want to step down to do this, but you see here on our little chart, you can download this at bbfohio.com, go to resources, Bible charts, and then you'll see this is one of them. 7 weeks right here, then 62 weeks. And on our chart, we have the 7 weeks rebuilding, 49 years. 62 weeks is self-governing Jerusalem and a 400-year silence. 400 years where no prophets, no Bible books were written during that 400 years. And then that leads up to actually the first prophet and the first word from God comes, the first word from God comes when John the Baptist's daddy, Zacharias, is told that his wife, who is elderly, named Elizabeth, was going to become pregnant and have a boy. And because he doubted, God said, well, here's the sign that you'll know that this is really going to happen. You're not going to talk till the baby's born. And so he went mute until the baby was born. Then, of course, Gabriel came to Mary and says, by the way, his name's Jesus, not Bonsai, or even Moses. His name would be Jesus. So there, that's what this chart is, the information this chart's giving you. And the reason we give that to you is to help you just get a mental picture of what we're talking about. So when references are made to the fullness of time, it's not referring to some mystical idea in the heavens. There is a fullness of time. And every time you see that reference, fullness of time, then you need to understand there is a, that God is telling you, he's pinpointed that. I believe, now there's some things that we're not told, but we'll come back to that in just a second. I want to read 1 Galatians 3. Keep your finger there in Daniel 9. But turn over to Galatians, right before Ephesians, in chapter 3, and verse 3. And actually chapter 4. Some of you have already looked and you're like, what's that? So turn over to chapter 4. And I will fix that so people can see that. There we go. Verse 3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time is what we're reading in Daniel chapter 9. He gave us the timetable. And so when the Bible uses those terms, it's not some vague thing. It is specific. And that, now, I want to throw in there, that doesn't mean you try to start pinpointing the date of the rapture. We'll come back to that in a minute. But God's dates are settled. That's one of the big arguments through the years is that the Calvinists get hung up on the fact that God can't learn anything new. God is omniscient. Omni science, omniscience. That means he's all knowing. It's impossible for God to be learning. God is all knowing. And that's why he can tell us the date that Jesus is going to be cut off 500 and some years before it happens. And 483 to be exact from the time he told Daniel. The reason why is because to God, nothing's new. And here's a little example that helped me when I tried to understand this. How many of you have been to a parade anytime recently or in your lifetime? Been to a parade? Okay. You're standing on the street, and it's like, here comes the marching band. Man, when I was a kid, I used to love that, man. Here come the drums. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know. And they just always seem to go right past us and never play music in front of me. I never stood in the right place. And then one time I was at this parade, and I just realized I was standing close to some important people. And man, every time a band came, they played a song, you know. And I was an adult, though, so I looked kind of funny, you know. But as a kid, I never remember hearing the band much at the parades. Then come the clowns, you know. And, you know, I'm talking about like congressmen, you know. They'd always be in those cars where, I mean, like, who's that, Mom? Just some crook. And then come, my favorite part, though, was the fire truck. And every once in a while, I'd be at the right place, they'd put on, you know, love it. What was I talking about? Oh, parades. Yeah. So you're standing there at a parade and you're watching this stuff go on. But if at that moment someone could just kind of put you in a basket and lift you up in a helicopter and just go up, up, and the farther you get up, the more you actually see of the parade at one time. Until you get up to a certain height, you can actually see the beginning to the end. And see, that's how God is. God can step down into our parade, which he did when Jesus was incarnate. And he did many times in the Old Testament. Theophanies, Christophanies, the angel of the Lord. But he is eternal and omniscient, and he sees the beginning from the end the way you and I would if we were up there looking at the parade from up here. And that's why he could go down, send Gabriel down and tell him when Jesus was going to be cut off. And yet up here, God's looking at the whole thing. He knows it from the beginning and the end. And so that's why we say God's dates are settled. But the date of the rapture is not revealed to us in Scripture. And that's why I throw this out there, because we're going to look at some things that are settled. But the rapture is not one of them that you can know. It's called imminence. Could happen at any moment. There's no dates. So no matter how much someone prods you and maybe makes a video with special effects and music, you know, and gets you all, ooh, and says, we're going to tell you the date of the rapture. Don't fall for it. Right before I got saved, there was a book out. And I watched these people go crazy over 88 reasons why Jesus will return in 1988. We was out fishing and camping, and there's these crazy Christians over there, and they're all sitting around a campfire, and they're playing their little guitars and singing their 7-Eleven songs, you know, over and over. We're like, what's going on over there? And one of the guys says, I was talking to one of those people over there. They think Jesus is coming back. I said, what's making them think that? You know, I'm not living right, so I was a little worried there. And he said that he told him about this thing. And then later when I got saved, I found out, and I got a copy of it. And almost everything in that book had to do with trying to pinpoint things based on the feasts and things that belong to Israel. And that's why those feasts and all this stuff, even what we're reading now, we're going to look in that I'll show it again, that chart. I've got us, we're a parenthesis. But the whole thing is Israel. When Jesus came, he said, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then because he was rejected, then he went to Samaria and he went to the Gentiles. And then Pentecost happened and so forth. And the rest is history. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. And we are all saved and one in the body of Christ. But then that's the body of Christ. That's not Israel. And when the body of Christ is removed, God's going to deal with Israel during that 70th week. We'll see more of that in the next couple of weeks. So there are dates set by God. So on the flip side, you have to understand the rapture isn't dated. You're not going to find it out in Scripture. But he, as we're going to see in Daniel 9:26, he tells us exactly when Jesus is going to be crucified. Did you know that the second coming of Jesus is dated? The rapture cannot be known. But the second coming of Jesus comes exactly 7 years after the date of the confirmation of the covenant between Antichrist and Israel and the world. Now, that means we can't give a date right now. And you say, well, what's going to keep people from just blaring that date after that happens? Because during that time, as Jesus said, people are first of all going to be deceived and they're not even going to understand what's going on. And then by the time all hell breaks loose at the midpoint of the tribulation, they're not going to have time to write books. And you're not going to have the free internet that we have today. You're not going to have people blogging and saying, hey, by the way, I can tell you when Jesus is going to return. It's not going to happen. But you could know if you pick up a Bible during the tribulation and you read it and believe it. Did you know the final world war, Satan's final day of judgment, and the great white throne are dated? That's exactly 1,000 years after the day Jesus returns. Exactly 1,000 years after Jesus returns, there'll be a final war by the word of his mouth that destroys enemies that have circled and camped around Jerusalem. Satan will take by the ear and fling him down into a lake of fire. And then the great white throne starts. Isn't that seven? So, that's why we understand that we are being told something in verse 26 that we should really be careful with. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That is a reference to the cross. That's what happened when Messiah was cut off. It was at the cross. How many of you read this verse here in Daniel 9:26? And hopefully from this point on you will. And you read and see, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And you think of the cross. You think of Jesus being crucified, shedding his blood on the cross. As far as the defining term, cut off, let's follow what we call the law of first use. And that is, if you want to know what a word means in the Bible, you don't have to get a dictionary. As a matter of fact, dictionaries are corrupt and they'll lead you astray. I think in the newer dictionaries, they'll say that marriage is two persons coming together legally. And then so they're defining marriage as two men and two women. And the dictionaries are being corrupt more and more. Through the years, you'll see it more and more. And so the law of first use is when you go to the Bible and you see the first use in Scripture of the phrase cut off in Genesis 9:11. And you want to know what it means? Well, let's read. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be what? Anymore by the waters of a flood. Now, what happened to all flesh at the flood? They died. That's what cut off means. Died. Now you say, well, that's kind of, you know, I've had people argue with me over that. And so it's just good to know that you can go to the first use and you can go to the majority or most of the uses of the phrase cut off that you see in the Bible is talking about people being killed. And what I mean is there's a couple of times where the word cut off, it isn't clear in the text that you're reading. But those are the exception. Almost all the references to cut off are clearly talking about someone being killed. And that may be obvious to some of us, but I've been challenged at least twice in recent years about the meaning of that term, cutoff being death. So that's why I share that information. And that is exactly what happened. So that confirms it as well. Go to the law of first use. But also what happened after the 69 weeks? Messiah was cut off. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off? Right before Jesus was crucified, he rebuked the Jews for not recognizing this prophecy. When I say that that God has dated certain things, do you understand? Have you thought about that? That when they crucified Jesus, the people are out there saying, "Crucify him!" If they'd known their Bible, somebody would have been standing there and say, "Whoa! Daniel, the prophet, was given a little information by Gabriel that predicted what you're doing right now." That's what I say to people. I have people, "You Christians know this talk about the rapture. You've been saying that for 2,000 years." I'm like, "Well, the funny thing is, St. Peter predicted you. Peter said, in the last day shall come scoffers who will say, 'Where is his coming? You've been saying this since the time of the fathers.'" Yeah. See? And I say, you actually are fulfilling prophecy by being a scoffer. Look at this over in Luke 19. Keep your finger there in Daniel 9, but go to Luke. What happened to my... There it is. Luke 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse 42. I'll start actually in verse 41. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city." It's just the same city Daniel's talking about in Daniel 9. The same city. "He beheld the city and wept over it." Look at verse 42. "Saying, 'If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.'" Why are they hid from their eyes? Because their eyes aren't on the Bible. Their eyes aren't on Scripture. Their eyes were on tradition. Their eyes were on man-made rules. Their eyes were on trying to please the leaders and the chief priests and the elders. And verse 43, then he goes on to say, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side." Verse 44, "and shall lay thee even with the ground." That's Jesus is predicting 70 AD, and that's exactly what happened in 70 AD. "And thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou," what? Read that. "Knewest not the time of thy visitation." He's talking about Daniel's prediction. Right there. Make note of that. Every time you read that, you should think about the fact that if those people had known their Bible and known the book of Daniel, they would have known that that crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of prophecy 5 centuries beforehand. That's amazing. You know that's twice as old as the country we live in? Twice as old as...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.